It's a dominating day for Chase Briscoe at Darlington, and Hendrick Motorsports stumbles out of the gate. These are our top stories on this edition of Fast Talk.
Fast Talk is presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. Now, here's the host of Fast Talk, Doug Rice.
Well, congrats. The NASCAR playoffs are finally here. The Southern 500 is in the books. And for the second year in a row, Chase Briscoe takes on the checkered flag. Alexis not surprised with the winner, but how dominating he won, and just no questions at all who had the best car and the best plan this past.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I look at the race and I look at what he was able to do, and I wasn't really that surprised, to be honest with you, because of what we witnessed him do last year and what I'm considering inferior equipment with Stuart Haas Racing last year. And I mean, he's in Joe Gibbs Racing equipment. It's clear that the Toyotas were heads and shoulders above the other manufacturers this past weekend in Darlington. So being in a Toyota was a huge advantage for him. And that team has been on a tear as of late. I think that they're ones that a lot of people have predicted to go very far in the playoffs. And now we know they're at least going to the round of 12.
Yeah, they've been the sexy pick lately, but they've earned that because of their performance level. And Brad, I guess this is sort of the crescendo to the fact that we've seen Chase Briscoe winning poles and running up front for the last six races.
Yeah, I mean, you look at all the pole starting spots, the front row starting spots, the great finishes, and there is no surprise why he is the driver who now has collected the most points over the last 10 on the schedule. And some of those races didn't even quite go their way, but they have truly been dominant. The one thing that really impressed me is, number one, the dominating performance. Even if it looked like maybe someone could pass him or beat him on a restart, they were still going to retake the lead. And 309 laps of 367 led is incredible, but one thing I don't understand about Darlington, because we see it on short tracks, Bristol, Martinsville, and so on, that when a driver gets a hold of something, they can hang on to it there. Darlington seems to be the same way. Tyler Reddick has run well there consistently. Denny Hamlin's got an amazing lifetime average there. Now Chase Briscoe's the new guy that when you start to talk about Darlington front runners, I don't know that it matters what car or what team you're driving. You're going to do well there if you have this track figured out.
And your guy, Eric Jones.
I was going to say, how? Did you not mention Eric Jones?
How did you not give him credit?
You talking about two-time Darlington winner, Eric Jones, by the way?
Yes, we are.
Let's go ahead and hear from the most recent winner, Chase Briscoe.
I try to just not even think about the playoffs at all. I mean, it's definitely nice to start off, be able to lock our way into the round of 12, but I'm way more excited about 7 playoff points for the next couple rounds, right? That's something that we were at a pretty big deficit at, and to add 7, that's a huge deal, going forward. So, yeah, I was way more excited about that than probably locking into the round of 12. But yeah, it's definitely nice for us to start our playoffs off, in the way that we did it, and not just winning, but I felt like we dominated, and that's really cool to do. So yeah, it definitely is a great way for us to start, and hopefully we can just ride this momentum now.
Alexis, I know he downplays it in that clip there, but now they can exhale for the next two races. Gateway, Bristol, hey, we'll show up. We'll do the best we can, but the heat's off.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, the number one thing that they probably are going to be focusing on in the next 2 weeks is getting more playoff points. I mean, you think about the fact that he came into this race, I think, with 10 playoff points, and now he has 17. He almost doubled his amount of playoff points, and that's going to be something that's super, super important when you get down to, the round of 8, when probably a lot of people in there are going to have a hefty amount of playoff points, and if you're starting at a big deficit with only – one person getting into the final four on points, most likely, then, you need to stack up those playoff points. So I think that's probably what they're going to focus on.
So Brad Gilley, we had 6 non-playoff drivers in the top 10. Does that surprise you, or was that expected on your part?
No, it wasn't expected. Really, some of the names weren't expected also. And this is no disrespect to anyone. Obviously, Legacy Motor Club as a whole ran well, as did Toyota. But John Hunter Nemechek was not expected. A.J. Allmendinger was not expected to finish in the top 10. There were a handful of drivers. And when you looked at the starting lineup of this race, and what was it, 11 of the top 12 or 13 of the top 14 starting spots were all playoffs drivers, to think about how much the playoffs drivers peppered the final results, and they weren't all up front on Sunday night.
Six drivers that did not belong in the playoffs finished in the top 10. Erik Jones, John Hunter Nemechek, A.J. Allmendinger, and then it was Kyle Busch, Carson Hocevar, and Chris Buescher. Any one of those six really surprise you with how well they ran, Alexis?
I mean, honestly, I could make a case for all of them to be completely honest. I think John Hunter Nemechek, like Brad mentioned, look, Erik Jones, no matter what car he's in, he always seems to run well at Darlington. But to have that entire team in himself and in John Hunter Nemechek run well, I thought was huge. They talked a lot about on the broadcast about how Jimmy Johnson moving back to the States, being more of a presence at the shop at Legacy Motor Club, has really started to pay off. And we've seen that at more than just this race. So them running up front, it was a surprise, but I think they are trending more in that direction week in and week out. To me, honestly, like, Kyle Busch might even be a big surprise just because he has not run well at all as of late. And to see him, once we get into the playoffs, running the top 10 is just a little bit surprising.
You know, Brad, you touched on a point a moment ago about certain drivers being really good at Darlington, and you went through a list there. This race to me felt a little bit like Richmond with Austin Dillon. He goes up there and he's like Superman.
Yeah.
You put Chase Briscoe down at Darlington, and there's got to be something to the fact that this driver just marries up well to that racetrack.
Yeah, it's just something he has figured out. And whatever it is, who knows? Like Alexis said earlier, last year he won with Stuart Haas Racing, and it wasn't a dominant performance. This year, it is a dominant performance with Joe Gibbs Racing. And what's strange, too, is when we were there back in the spring, you know, we weren't really talking about Chase Briscoe at all, except maybe during pre-race saying, here's the guy who won here the last time we were here. But something about this Southern 500 race really just stepped up for him, as well as some of the other historically good Darlington drivers. It was really neat to see, actually, and it was neat to see this be a night not just about playoffs drivers, to your point earlier.
And a little bit later on, we'll talk about the drivers that really helped themselves as far as the playoffs were concerned. Let's give you our Toyota performance report right now. And it was a big night for Toyota. They should frame this one. Chase Briscoe obviously won in the Bass Pro Shops Toyota. Tyler Reddick, the Pinnacle Toyota, was second. Third belonged to Erik Jones, the Dollar Tree Toyota. I like Dollar Tree. John Hunter Nemechek, the By Parker Fire and Safety Toyota. Bubba Wallace, U.S. Air Force Toyota. Sports Clip Haircut Toyota. I'm giving the sponsors some love here because they kind of earned it last night. Ty Gibbs fell down the list. He was 22nd. Then it was Riley Herbst. And Christopher Bell was the worst of the Toyotas in the Ream Toyota. But overall, a really, really strong day for the Toyotas. That is our Toyota Performance Report. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA. Don't forget the .com.
So you're a Toyota Cup driver and you just made it to the playoffs. Now all you have to do is win. Easy. Just turn left, right? That and start strong, take off, reach 200 miles per hour, maintain a good position, no big deal, lap again, time your pit stops, steer clear of accidents, talk to your crew chief like your best friend, and most importantly, turn left. Easy, right? You in? Get up to speed at TGRNA.com. Toyota, let's go places. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, LLC.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This is Ryan Preece, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Ah!
Hi, this is Brett McMillan. The opinions fly fast and furious each week on The Pit Reporters.
Every other major league sport has a playoff system, so I think the playoff system should stay. I do think there's maybe slight middle ground where there could be some changes that are made.
I do remember seasons where this championship had been decided well before the last few races, so it just isn't quite the same vibe that we have now.
Join us each week for The Pit Reporters.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver, and I dedicate a lot of my time going fast. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. Visit alz.org/time to talk, a message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Post-Darlington, we know Chase Briscoe really helped himself because he is locked into the round of 12. Way to go, Chase. He can take it easy for the next couple of races if he so desires. I don't think that he will. And Briscoe and then Denny Hamlin. How about Denny Hamlin with all the stuff that's going on in his world now, Alexis? He's 43 points to the good, and you feel like, okay, he's probably a lock to make it to the next round.
Well, honestly, coming back and finishing seventh last night was a good rebound for that team because they, you know, they obviously they had the pole starting position and they ran pretty well, and then the wheels came off on pit road, metaphorically. And unfortunately mired them back in traffic, and it looked for a while like, oh my goodness, Denny Hamlin, you know, might not get a great finish out of this night. And obviously they were able to come back and finish seventh. But yeah, I mean, where he's sitting in the playoffs right now, it's, you know, second to Chase Briscoe, who moves on obviously because of the win, plus 43. He's in a really good spot, but I think he probably would have wished he had a little bit of a better finish at Darlington.
Brad, even with a not superlative finish, I mean, seventh, that's okay. They've helped themselves out quite a bit here, I feel like.
Yeah, and look, a great regular season with four wins certainly helps that, and they overcame, and I think that says a lot. I mean, he started on the pole in the race and finished third in stage number one. Then they had the bad pit stop, clutch issues with the car. I didn't think he was going to be able to race back to seventh, but he did. And then you go to Gateway this weekend. He's fifth best in the Cup Series in terms of points collected. And, well, we know what he can do in the Bristol Night Race. He's won that one before. So there's no givens, that is for sure, because, again, anything can happen. Things out of your control from behind the steering wheel. But I would say they're in a pretty comfortable spot, and they did a great job recovering, albeit with a couple of different issues on Sunday night.
Brad, who else do you think really helped themselves? Maybe kind of surprisingly so with the good showing.
Austin Cindric. I didn't think he was actually going to have a 12th place finish, and I think that was a good thing for him. Ross Chastain, I think, did the best for himself. I mean, now he moves up well above the cut line, and I shouldn't say well above the cut line. If you're within 20 points of the cut line, that can be erased in two stages of a race, but he's plus 21, and he was plus one going into the playoffs, so that was a big deal. That final stage where they were short on fuel, he ended up giving up a bunch of spots, hurt a little bit, but they had a really nice night, and the most important thing is they had a really good qualifying effort starting sixth as well.
For me, it was Tyler Reddick. I mean, you know, he's somebody who we weren't exactly sure, you know, going into Daytona, there were some scenarios where he could possibly be on the outside looking in. And then, you know, he comes to Darlington and he runs up front. He finished second in both the stages and in the race. And when you think about the points gained from that, that was huge for that team, especially coming in with, you know, little to no playoff points because they didn't have any wins. They got in on points. And so I think it was a huge day for them for multiple reasons.
I've got to give Bubba Wallace a head nod here.
Yeah.
He ran toward the front all day long, Brad. Wound up, I think, he finished sixth. And right now he's 25 points to the good. I know it's really, really, really early. It's as early as it can be and actually be in the playoffs. But this feels good for him.
Yeah, it's got to feel really good to collect a lot of points to be able to move up. And again, this is a team, you know, I think there are three of them that really throughout the summer months stood up in a big way. Obviously, we saw Chase Briscoe do that, and I'll say four. We saw Ryan Blaney do it as well, especially the six races that preceded the playoffs. Alex Bowman, throughout the summer leading into the playoffs, actually had the highest point total among all the drivers and had it by a lot. And then Bubba Wallace, they just sort of have hit their stride, and they've hit their stride in a good way. And it wasn't just the Brickyard win. I do think that was a great momentum boost, but you know what? He also found himself doing well turning left and right a couple of times this year.
I think he saved his season by having manageable finishes on road courses and not back in the 30s. He's not been a threat to win, but they're also not embarrassing themselves. I do want to touch on one point here. 2311 Racing, they had a good day. Tyler Reddick finished second. Bubba Wallace finished sixth. So on the racetrack, they performed well. Mostly what we have heard from 2311 Racing this year has been in the courtroom. We had a really nasty exchange between NASCAR and some teams earlier this week. Alexis, I don't want to talk about the particulars of it because we're not legal eagles here. My sense is, and I could be all wrong, Brad probably has a better feel for this than I do, that the race fans themselves could care.
Yeah, I mean,
I have not had one person come up and ask me except what is going on.
I think people want to understand it because it is a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
You know, the whole process and what's happening and all of that. And the fact that, you know, pundits have said this whole entire time that if this does go to trial in December, it could completely reshape the look of what our sport looks like today.
Right.
So I think fans want to understand it. They want to follow it. But I think also they realize that, like, there's not a whole lot that they can do about it. So they're waiting for news. They're waiting to see what's going to happen, but they're still enjoying the racing in between, you know?
Brad Gilley, you spend a lot of time on Sirius. You talk to a lot of fans. Where do you think they are as in terms of interest in this lawsuit between NASCAR and a couple of race teams?
I think everyone's interested in what the outcome is going to be and how that's going to impact either A, the teams, 2311 in Front Row, or B, NASCAR as a whole. That's where the difference is going to be. I don't really spend much time talking about it because it's something that's moving through the court system and all these injunction hearings and this and that. You know, these are all preliminary things. This isn't necessarily what the meat of this lawsuit is going to be. Personally, I wish it would just simply go away and everyone would come to an agreement before we just spend another 3 or 4 months speaking negatively about anyone, be it the sport or the race teams.
And the other thing that gets lost in this is a lot of money being spent on both sides. Lawyers do not work pro bono for the most part.
Yeah.
And not on this.
Not on this. No, the meter is running fast at these law firms.
The thing is, though, is you're talking about Michael Jordan, who I don't think he's hurting.
No, not.
I don't think his bank account's hurting for cash at all.
No.
And NASCAR, who probably has a trove of lawyers that are at their, at their service should they need them. So, yes, it is a lot of money that's transpiring in the background, but that's how these things work. And I mean, I agree with Brad. Like, you know, it would be so much better if we could just come to a settlement and an agreement. But it's clear that that's not going to happen.
It doesn't look that way.
And I'm
in total agreement with Brad. I would love to see this go away. It's a sideshow that I don't think benefits anyone.
I agree.
And we get to watch it. All right. So that's our legal minute on this show. All right. We talked about the folks that helped themselves. Who stumbled? Can you say Hendrick Motorsports? We'll chat about that next.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
This is Daniel Suarez, and you're listening to the PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's Bristol.
Allgaier immediately goes to the outside. Down in the bottom is Larson. Side by side for second is Connor Dillon.
Allgaier caught on the outside, trying to fight back. A big wiggle out of Justin Allgaier again, but he's able to hold on to third.
Sam Mayer starts to go low. Then he goes high to block Kyle Larson. That hurts Larson, but could introduce Ryan Sieg.
It's the Food City 300. Friday night, September 12th at 7 Eastern on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
In Iraq, our truck hit a roadside bomb. I had about 16 surgeries on my hand so that I could regain function. And when I came home, I needed a new roof due to a storm. And I was about to lose homeowners insurance as well. I applied for Operation Homefront Critical Financial Assistance Program. And it's good to know that when we come home, there are people who are there that care about us. Operation Homefront, they've really been a blessing.
Welcome back to Fast Talk, presented by our good friends at Toyota. We appreciate them a lot. We're going to give them some love because they had such a great day at Darlington. All right, we talked about the teams that really helped themselves and the drivers that came out of Darlington kind of puffed up. Brad Gilley, who left Darlington deflated a little bit, kind of like the New England Patriot footballs that one year.
Well,
that one year.
Right. Look, you mentioned it. Hendrick Motorsports. You look at their history at Darlington Raceway. I mean, seriously. At one point, I thought, oh, look, Kyle Larson's kind of scratching his way up into the top five. Here we go. Things are getting to normal. Chase Elliott really was never a factor. And he had his little altercation with Carson Hocevar at one point during that race. William Byron, he was one of my pre-race favorites. He was actually the dominant car back in the spring. Again, never really a factor. And let's not talk about, or maybe we should, Alex Bowman. Ooh. And the comedy of errors that happened to that team. And just when they overcame, and finally got back on the lead lap in the final stage, well, they no longer had the speed, and they ended up finishing two laps down. It was a disaster night for Hendrick Motorsports. I don't think there's a nice way to describe it.
They did have a Keystone Cops type pit stop.
You know what? You're the second person that I've heard say that. And I, you know, I in the moment, I just said, oh my gosh, like this is, I hate to say it, but it was almost like a clown show. Like, what are they doing exactly? You know, like it just seemed like one thing happened and then another, and then they couldn't get their bearings about them. And it ended up being a 40-second pit stop that, you know, clearly, like Brad said, they were able to come back and rebound a little bit. But once they did, like it wasn't there for them. And it was a night that I'm sure that they wish they could have back, because they were a team. And there was a few other ones that we could talk about, too, that should they have had a good night, they would have probably made up quite a few points on their competitors who had bad nights.
Oh, they could have feathered their nest.
They could have done a really good job at padding some points for them heading into Gateway, but it didn't happen that way.
All right, here are the finishes for the Hendrick Motorsports team. Chase Elliott, the top team from HMS, 17th, 19th to Kyle Larson, 21st to William Byron, and Alex Bowman and all of his trials and tribulations finished 31st. That is not an atypical Hendrick Motorsports night. I've said it many times, I don't believe in coincidence. Something systemic went wrong. I just don't know that all four of these teams, which belong to the best organization in racing overall, stumbled out of the gate. I have a feeling they'll probably rebound, but you're already behind now. Now you've got to start playing catch-up a little bit. And that's always tougher at this stage of the game, Alexis.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I look overall at the playoffs drivers and where they stand coming out of Darlington. You had six playoff drivers that were able to finish in the top 12. That's not bad. You had 10 that finished 17th or worse. That is not a playoff caliber showing.
All right, Brad Gilley, last year we had Joey Logano get to the round of eight because Alex Bowman got disqualified. And then he mm-hmm. turns on the Jets and he wins the championship. This year, he stumbles out of the gate. A 20th place run for Joey Logano. Should we be surprised, or is this kind of atypical for the year for Logano?
I think it's, well, a good point. For the year, maybe we shouldn't be surprised. I do think this is atypical for Team Penske to start off in the playoffs that way. Ryan Blaney had his spin, and that hurt him, but I don't know that we ever really were talking about Ryan Blaney all night. Like I said before, I was most impressed with Austin Cindric for finishing 12th. I think this weekend we're going to a track where Team Penske literally is 1-2-3 in terms of points collected in the three races we've had at Gateway. Two of them have won there in Logano and Cindric, so they've got a good opportunity to bounce back, but not the way you wanted to start the postseason at all, being irrelevant in the first race.
All right, let's flag the tape there. So Brad has thrown this out that this coming weekend will be a Team Penske weekend. If we are here at the desk a week from now talking about them stumbling, then I think that rewrites the whole playoff map, Alexis.
I think it does. I think it absolutely does, because you look at that and you circle that racetrack and that date as, okay, well, we expect Team Penske to run well. I mean, we thought that they would run pretty decent at Darlington. Obviously, that didn't come to fruition, but you weren't flagging those guys as like they're the ones to watch this weekend. At Gateway, they absolutely are. And if mm-hmm. it turns out that that's not the case, then I think maybe somebody needs to be pushing a panic button.
They at least need to know where it's at.
Exactly.
And we're talking about other people that stumbled out of the gate at Darlington. Shane Van Gisbergen, I even figured out a way last week for him to get to the Final Four. That just got a lot tougher.
I think
bad strategy. They were playing a strategy that didn't work out. Let me rephrase that. You know, they kept him out there long, and if a caution would have come out, he'd have been running up there, you know, in the top 10 or top 15. But because there wasn't another one, that just simply didn't work out for them. And that became a really tough thing. So I thought he would run better than he did, especially considering where Chastain was. And it seemed like he really liked Darlington when they were there back in the spring. But again, this seems like a totally different spring to fall track what we saw this year.
SVG's chances got, what is it, 3 points above the cut line now?
I think.
Is that right?
I think that's correct, yeah.
He's still on the plus side. Yeah. He's never raced at Gateway.
He is still on the plus side. He's never raced at Gateway. I think Bristol might be quite a big challenge for him. So I would expect, unfortunately for him and that team, I would expect them to fall below the cut line.
I think the plan was to run well enough. We talked about it a lot here. Keep it simple, get through these three races, get above the cut line, and then, you know, hope to cash in at the Roval. I don't see it happening now.
You know, with the amount of playoff points that he had, if he could have run in like the top 15, you know, then that could have potentially sustained him to be able to have top 15, top 20-ish runs at Gateway and Bristol, which could have been potentially doable for that team. But finishing in the 30s at Darlington, I think it just wiped out too much of that cushion that he had.
Brad, this is like being at the roulette table and you've got all your favorite numbers covered and the ball drops on the green.
Yeah, kind of. Hey, look, he's still on the plus side.
Kinda.
And the hole that Alex Bowman and Josh Berry are in right now at minus 16, you know, that's
19.
Something that they're going to have to make up. Minus 19. Thank you. That's something that they're going to have to make up. You know, is Austin Dillon going to come back at Gateway and or Bristol? Don't know.
No,
I think Logano can recover. So now you're probably dependent on the fact that Bowman and Berry don't recover and that someone else stumbles along the way, which there are still two races left. I think it's very possible, but I think the mountain in front of him, you know, to Alex's point, he didn't do well with Bristol back in the spring at all. And he was not looking forward to that. Never having been to Gateway, that's going to be a tough one as well. But I don't know, maybe there's something about Gateway and it races like a short track and he can attack the corners like it's a road course that is going to help him. But these are all maybes, and maybes don't get you to the next round.
Well, he did win a Legends car race here at Charlotte.
He sure
did.
Look, if I had to put money on something, I would put more money on Josh Berry or Alex Bowman running better the next 2 weeks to dig themselves out of a hole than I would put in SVG running well enough to stay above the cut line. And I hate to say that, but, you know, if we were going to a road course, then 1,000% I would put all my money in the SVG, you know, basket. But we're not. And we know that he runs at, unfortunately, a deficit when it comes to these ovals.
This is just me. I just felt like this was crucial for him to get out of there with a top 20.
Yeah.
Yes.
And give him a little room to maneuver, be 15 points above the cut line, and they squandered all those playoff points practically. Practically all of them were just spilled on the carpet at Darlington, and that's going to be tough to make up. And I think he's good for the game. I think the international following that he has. I mean, if we post something about SVG, our likes go through the roof because of the following he has in New Zealand and Australia.
And maybe if we post this, we're going to get a few.
Oh, he's making it through.
We need you to pick it up, SVG.
Right.
We'll take a timeout. Be right back. Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
This is Chase Briscoe, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
No one's paying me to say this, but you've been our lifeline. We have no internet. We have no TV. We barely have cell service. I don't know how I'm able to get to you. My Wi-Fi is not working. And I have a radio, and I finally got power on, and I have it plugged in, and I could hear you. You're the only station I can get in.
Wow. Well, that's I'm glad we're here. So, wow.
The report that we got was that a severe tornado was heading right toward us. And I just want to commend you gentlemen for the job that you're doing, for keeping us informed.
I just wanted to say thank you for being on the radio and guiding us to, you know, where we can get help.
I just want to tell you, the first thing I heard was your voices the next morning. Oh, shoot. And it made me cry. The comfort of hearing your voices.
My respiration, perspiration, and aggravation are sky high, but you guys have been the guiding light.
Your local AM station makes a difference.
Back to Fast Talk. The one thing I will have a cautionary tale on, it is easy, and I just did it. So I'll put myself in that same bucket here. It's easy to be swayed, Brad Gilley, by one race. You know, I don't think SVG will make it out of this round, but it's just one race. And to Alexis's point a moment ago, Austin Dillon, Josh Berry could go to Gateway, could go to Bristol, and dig themselves out of the hole. Austin Dillon could too. So I guess we should caution about overreaction here.
Yeah, that's my theme this week, is don't look at Darlington and say this is the way the entire playoffs are going to go. Again, because it's just simply one race. If you look ahead to the tracks we have in front of us, Gateway, Kyle Larson's average finish there is 8.7. Bristol in the next gen, it's 2.8. Kyle Larson can have a big bounce and a big rebound for William Byron. Again, here's another guy who could recover. Ryan Blaney, you know, he finds himself with a bad finish. Last year, he might have been on the way to victory lane at Gateway had he not been short on fuel in that particular race. That's what helped put him in the lead, but still, he would have had a really good finish. So for a lot of these drivers who are really down pretty far, there is a big path to recovery for them in the next two races. Anything can happen. You know, you talk about 500 miles at Darlington. We have 500 laps under the lights at Bristol on a little half-mile track where the cars are going to be whizzing around. Someone could wreck in front of you as the leader, and the next thing you know, you're out of the playoffs. So I think there's a lot of racing yet to go. Don't look at Darlington and say this defines the first round.
Well, not only that, but none of the other races look like Darlington. Like, Darlington is Darlington. It sits on an island alone by itself in the way that it is configured and all of those things. So you can't really draw a similarity between that race and other racetracks. And so for that reason alone, I don't feel like you can base anything off of one race at Darlington.
If you've ever read the book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
42?
On the 42 is the secret to the world. Actually, the universe. But on the inside flap of the book, there's two words. Don't panic.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. Yep. So not time to panic yet. Now, if we're back
Come see us again next week.
If you see if some of these same teams struggle next week, then we'll change that refrain. By the way, congratulations to somebody that we know very well, and she has been on this show and on our sister show, The Pit Report, as many times. Deb Williams, the now current president of the National Motorsports Press Association, has received the Squire Hall Award, and she is going to be in the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
That is amazing. Congrats, Deb Williams. Such a storied career. Obviously, I've got to know her a lot more as head of the NMPA that she's been recently. Just a joy to work with and be around, and so congratulations. Very well deserved.
Brad, pretty cool.
It is a well-deserved honor to be able to have that Squire Hall Award and be honored with that. And, you know, Deb has been covering this sport for so, so long, and she has done such a fantastic job doing it at a time where she was the only female reporter doing it as well. I mean, she truly broke ground in this sport, and her reporting is top-notch, and she is one of the last true journalists in this sport as well and in media, and I think that's a great thing, and so happy to see her name on that.
Deb was covering the sport when you used to go to Darlington and they didn't allow women in the pits.
Yeah.
And I think she kind of bucked the system and she got to go in, but that's how long she's been at this game. And my history with her goes back a good 55 years. She used to be with United Press International, UPI, in Raleigh, and she was one of their reporters. And I did the morning show at a local radio station in Salisbury at WSTP. And we had UPI wire service. This is back in the day when the news came over a teletype, basically. Mm-hmm. And you went and tore it off and read it. And a lot of times they wouldn't send the weather forecast. So, call Deb. This is when you had to remember phone numbers. There was no speed dial back in the day. And she'd pick it up and I'd say, "Hey, Deb." She'd go, "You don't have your weather." And and then we would proceed to talk for 30 minutes, and it was always about NASCAR. And this was before she was a NASCAR reporter. And it was kind of neat to see that dream come about and watch her progress into being now the Squire Hall Award winner from a person that was, you know, an assistant producer or whatever at UPI in Raleigh. And I was calling her to bug her about weather forecasts.
Such a cool story.
It warmed my heart last night to see that when that hit social media. So congratulations, Deb. There is nobody more deserving of that award than you. When we come back, time for a little green flag, black flag.
Are you looking for the cheapest prices on car insurance? Then call the Cheap Car Insurance Hotline right now. Hey, you're guaranteed to save money on your car insurance. Most car insurances can be canceled at any time. That means if you find a better deal, you can switch right away. We're not just one company. We offer most of the major brands of car insurance. We're like a discount supermarket for car insurance. And it doesn't matter if you have a good record or a bad driving record. Our agents are experts at finding you the right car insurance for your needs. Our average customer saves hundreds of dollars a year when they call us to switch. So why don't you make this 100% free call right now and see how much you can save on your car insurance.
800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. 800-419-1971. That's 800-419-1971.
This is Ross Chastain, and you're listening to PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
These cars are about to fire it off in anger.
Logano back across the stripe. Now Zane Smith putting on some pressure.
Side by side, Austin Cindric has him at the line, and he will take the lead into one.
Boy, what a save. We got cars sideways. It's Christopher Bell. He spins and collects a couple cars. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen on the bottom. He's looking for second.
Now Chris Buescher fired out of a cannon at turn two. He's right into the rear bumper of Taggett. Which way is it going to go?
Oh, it's a multi-car accident. I want to say 15, 20 cars. Looks like Austin Cindric is involved. Denny Hamlin. Guys, that took out about two-thirds of the field.
We have a fight on pit road between two crew guys. One of them is with Ty Gibbs. One is with Brad Keselowski.
Brad Keselowski will see the white flag as he drives under the start-finish line.
Chase Elliott has battled at the front all night long. He's won the war. Chase Elliott has just punched his ticket to the playoffs.
Awesome job, man. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
This is PRN.
Welcome back to Fast Talk here on the Performance Racing Network, presented by Toyota. It is time now for this world-famous segment.
And for another edition of Green Flag, Black Flag.
I think I called on that a little quick, didn't I?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You jumped the restart.
I did. I got penalized. I got to go to the back.
It's under review.
All right, here we go with Green Flag, Black Flag today. Go to read some carefully prepared statements. Yes, they are, and our panel will listen to them. If they agree with a statement, it gets a green flag. If they disagree, if they all agree with each other, there we go. Here we go. Start with Alexis Erickson today. Hendrick Motorsports is going to lose two drivers in the playoffs by the time we move on to the round of 12.
Ooh. You know what? I'm going to say green flag on that. I mean, you look at Alex Bowman, he's minus 19. You know, we already talked about in the last segment how, yes, he could probably dig his way out of that. But will he? I don't know. I'm not so sure. And Chase Elliott's only 9 above the cut line, and he didn't have a whole lot to show us yesterday in Darlington. So I'm going to say green flag. I think potentially they will have two out once we get to the round of 12.
Right. Doug Rice.
Everything that Alexis just said.
That too.
That all right. Cut right to the quick. It's Alex Bowman, nah, and Chase Elliott. I don't know. He's been like Bologna this year. It's just not much there.
All right, Brad Gilley.
Black flag. They might not lose any. Hey, look, I don't think they're going to lose two. They're not going to lose. You don't have a disastrous night like what they had in Darlington without saying we are going to turn this around in a big way going to Gateway and Bristol. That team is too good to not use a moment like this to get the ship righted.
Look, Brad, you and I talked to them last week, and they didn't seem too enthusiastic about their opportunities at Gateway. I mean, Gateway seemed like a track that they're like, ooh.
Let's see. You look at, Kyle Larson, 6th in terms of points collected. William Byron is 7th. Where's Chase Elliott? He's 10th, and Alex Bowman is 12th. But I don't think they're going to lose two drivers out of this round.
All right. Brad Gilley will stay with you on this one. SVG will not advance beyond this round.
Green flag. I think that's just going to be too tough for him. Again, you're going to a track where you've never been before against teams that have had 3 races there already. And then we already saw Bristol. For all intents and purposes, he probably has never been there before either because I think he made it, what, about 50 laps back in the spring? So that's going to be a tough mountain to climb.
Doug, I think you alluded to this earlier.
I did, and I'm not excited about it, but no, I don't see him getting out of this round. I felt like he had to go to Darlington and at least finish in the top 20, and they didn't, and I just think the mountains, as Larry McReynolds like to say, it's too vertical.
It's too vertical. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead and sound the unanimous wow, because, yeah, I agree. I mean, when you look back at his season, regardless of whether or not he moves on to the next round, it's going to be looked at as one of the best rookie seasons with four wins that anybody's had in a really long time. So they have a lot to be proud about, but they still have a lot that they need to work on when it comes to ovals. And I just think that it's not going to happen for them this time around.
Anybody want to
so far?
Yeah.
Four wins so far. Correct. I mean, he very well in the playoffs or out of the playoffs, most likely is going to win the Roval.
Let me follow up question. Is he the Roval winner?
I think you probably have a unit. I'm not going to bet against him. I'm not going to bet against him.
Wow.
Brad will. He said black flag.
Yeah. I don't know that I necessarily see that happening.
Wow,
I think
Captain
it's been a heck
Sunshine.
Of a run.
I know.
Does not go.
You got to have room for Erik Jones in victory lane somewhere. Right?
That's true.
Put in a good showing at Darlington. No, he'll win the Roval, but he's not going to be in the playoffs by
then.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Doug Rice, we go to you on this one. Darlington results do not define how the playoffs go.
Green flag. I think they're a big indicator and sends you down one path or another. But as we talked about earlier, it's one race out of 10, and I don't think it defines the playoffs, unfortunately, unless you're SVG.
Alexis.
Yeah, there's so many variables that could happen in the next two races. If rounds were only made up of one race, then yeah, certainly. But when you think about all the things that could or could not happen at Gateway and Bristol, it's really anybody's shot still. Mm-hmm.
Brad?
Yeah, green flag. There are a lot of things that can happen here over the next 2 weeks for sure. And look, when we get to Bristol, you guys hear me say this a lot. I do not call the final race in a round an elimination race. They're a cutoff race. We do eliminate people from the playoffs, but any race can be an elimination race. This might have been Josh Berry and Alex Bowman's elimination race. It might have been Shane Van Gisbergen's elimination race. Any one of them can be that, including Gateway and Bristol for some other teams. So we don't want to jump ahead based on what happened at Darlington. Toyota really dominated this race, not just Chase Briscoe, but Toyota did. Ford could come back and do that at Gateway. Chevrolet could do that at Bristol Motor Speedway. We have a lot of racing to go, a lot of laps still coming up in this round.
Mm-hmm. All right, got one more. Oh, go ahead, Doug. You had something.
No, I agree, and I will say this. We call races wild card races. Usually it's now Atlanta, Talladega, Daytona. Every race is a wild card race, depending on how well you finish.
Yeah.
Because anything can happen.
This had to feel like a wild card race for Hendrick Motorsports. The top car was 17.
They hope it is a wild card race.
They hope this is the one.
Yes, exactly.
But every race has the potential of being that. So
certainly.
I think we get lulled into thinking, well, it'll just go as is. No, it doesn't. It never does.
Yep.
All right.
I do have one more. Let's go with Alexis on this one. Since I became a broadcaster, I'm not sure I've ever had a Labor Day off.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'd say green flag with that because it always falls on a Monday. But I will say our company is extremely generous. I took my Labor Day last Friday, so I've already had my day off.
Oh, okay. Brad Gilley, have you ever had one?
I'll say green flag, and it's not because I don't know. It's because I do know. This is what we do, and it's awesome. We're pretty fortunate. Yeah.
And I will go back in time. Kent and I used to work at the same radio station in Salisbury. And on Labor Day Monday, back when they used to run the Southern 500 on Labor Day, we were a part of the Jerry Lewis telethon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And
we had a local presentation of that.
And we would set up in a mall parking lot and have bands that played. And Kent and I were there from sunrise to sunset, raising money for muscular dystrophy.
Not just that, but we also had a little thing called the Labor Day Four-Ball Golf Tournament.
Yep, we had
that
to go
we
cover
covered
that.
Live on the radio every Labor Day.
Yeah, and you talk about something that's hard to make exciting is golf on the radio.
Yeah.
That is a challenge. It's like talking about art on the radio.
Sure.
No, I don't know that I've ever had a Labor Day off, but we like doing this.
Do we have to do it, Doug?
No, we get to
That's
do it.
Right.
There you go.
Ooh, I'm really glad I didn't put the ball on the ground there. All
back
right.
to your – speaking of the ball goes back to Doug Rice.
All right, so coming up, one last thing.
From fueling NASCAR champions on the track for over 20 years to innovating 94 octane, the highest octane on the market. Performance is what Sunoco does. All Sunoco fuel at the pump meets the same top-tier standards as the fuel used in NASCAR. From the track to your tank, you can trust Sunoco to help your vehicle perform at its peak.
Grab a friend and pack the cooler. Saturday Night Racing returns to North Wilkesboro Speedway October 18th for the Z-Max Cars Tour Championship. See rising stars like Keelan Harvick compete against Short Track Racing's best in season finals for Pro Late Model, Late Model Stock, and the Smart Modified Tour. Party down North Wilkesboro style with the Z-Max Cars Tour Saturday, October 18th. For tickets, visit NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com.
I'm Chase Elliott, and you're listening to Fast Talk on the Performance Racing Network.
It's hard to believe in this day and age in the United States of America that children are hungry.
Our time on this planet is short. We have to give back to those in need.
Every child has a chance, no matter what obstacles they may encounter.
Never have we been taxed more as a society to help kids the way we are right now.
At Speedway Children's Charities,
our mission is simple.
Help every child we can.
Because all children
deserve joy
and hope
and love.
I'm PRN's Doug Turnbull, co-host of the 5 to Go podcast, a weekly deep dive into five motorsports issues. Devin Kupka gives the Gen Z view.
One thing that I've never seen before, when the cars got four wide, everybody stood up cheering.
And championship-winning mechanic Dan Elliott leans on his decades in the garage and promoting.
Unless everybody is aware of the rules, then no, it's not fair for everyone.
Listen to the 5 to Go podcast on GoPRN.com and subscribe on Apple and Spotify.
If we've done nothing else, we have arrived at the conclusion it is too early to panic. If your favorite driver had a bad day at Darlington, guess what? Every driver in this series at one point or another has had a bad day at Darlington. So don't freak out yet. They head to Gateway, and if they have another bad day, then you can start to panic. Is that fair?
I think so, certainly.
You take two mulligans in the first three, you're in trouble.
Two out of three, you know?
Yeah.
That seems like a good sample size.
Well, as Meatloaf said, two out of three ain't bad. Thank you, Brad. That was just for you. All right, let's move on to this.
One last thing.
All right, as we always do, we defer to the gentleman in Texas, Brad Gilley.
You know, we spend a lot of time, rightfully so, talking about the Cup Series. It's NASCAR's top division. But I would encourage you to check out the Friday and Saturday shows as well. Or in the case of Bristol Motor Speedway coming up next week, the Thursday-Friday shows, because we have all-night racing. But right now in the Craftsman Truck Series, Corey Heim is doing some pretty amazing things. He wasn't the dominant truck at Darlington, Lane Riggs was, but Corey Heim was the one in Victory Lane, getting his eighth win out of 19 races this year. There's some pretty amazing things happening in the Craftsman Truck Series right now. And over in the Xfinity Series, Connor Zilich got what was technically his eighth win, the seventh that he was driving the car under the checkered flag. But still, to think that he had a broken collarbone just 3 weeks ago and went to Victory Lane in Portland at one point during that race, had like an incredible 15-second lead. There are a lot of cool things happening. And if you say to yourselves, boy, wouldn't it have been cool to see the Rolling Stones when they were still a bar band? Well, you can kind of see that when it comes to what could be future NASCAR greatness right now in the Craftsman Truck Series and in the Xfinity Series. Don't sleep on those. If you're coming to your hometown, go buy some tickets. Tune in to the NASCAR Racing Network, PRN or MRN, and check out the races and certainly watch them on TV. A lot of fun things happening in both the second two series of our sport.
I would agree with that wholeheartedly. Our support series are putting on really good shows these days. Mine is, you know, we alluded to it a little bit earlier. It's Labor Day as we're recording this show. So just a celebration of America's workforce. You know, as I kind of joked a little bit, Doug has always said, we don't have to do this, we get to do this. I'm not sure, you know, that you could really call what we do quote unquote work when you think about our, you know, the people that work in the service fields and our first responders and our healthcare workers and our teachers, you know, the people that really make our society and civilization go around. So I just want to send a big thank you out to those folks, you know, for putting in the hard work and making everything work for America.
As I've said many times, being in radio and working in racing, I've had a job in the toy store.
Right.
For most of my life.
Yeah.
And I feel that way. So you know, here's a new toy every week with a different race and being able to talk about things. It's been a real blessing. I talked about Humpy Wheeler last week, and I this will probably be the last chance I get to talk about Humpy on the air. But I went to his funeral mass this past week, and then there was a celebration of his life and career here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And a lot of people got to get up, and they told their Humpy stories. And it was entertaining. And you think, well, it was a funeral. But no, Humpy would have approved this because he
celebration
was,
of yeah, life.
It was an opportunity that was bigger than life as he was. I'll retell one of the stories, and I've told this before on the air. Jay Howard with Jay Howard Events, now Wasserman, got up. And Jay, I took this job from Jay Howard when he left to go off and be world famous and make $1 billion. So Jay got up and told the story about the Humpy flop of the pre-race. He was going to have the world's largest marching band. And it was going to be here at Charlotte Motor Speedway. I think the previous record was like 4,500 people in one marching band. So they got together close to that. They weren't going to break the Guinness Book record anyway. They didn't have enough kids. So it was marching bands from all over the area. They marched in from the back side of the speedway and split off into two groups and came around to the front to perform on the ball field. It was 90 degrees. It was in October. And they've all got on their dress uniforms.
Yeah.
And they're looking good. And they got over, and I was here that day doing the public address. And they all assemble on the ball field, and sure enough, you started seeing kids fall down. They were passed out from the heat. Here go a trombone. There's a clarinet. And Humpy's up on top of the roof here, and he goes, Jay Howard looks at him. He says, boss, we're losing kids here. And Humpy goes, the show must go on. And then a few more fell down, and Humpy goes, the show must go on. We got to keep going. And then finally, you know, they lost like 50 kids in 30 seconds. And goes, the show must stop.
Yes.
And Charlie Daniels was supposed to come out and play a song, a tribute to the American farmer. And Charlie walks out, and it's like bedlam. You know, there are ambulances all over the infield.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's kind of funny that even the greatest showman ever, he realized when it was going down, it's in a weird way, it was the best story of the day because he was fallible. And I think Humpy would have genuinely appreciated that because he brought so much to the table here and people were so excited. A lot of times it's hard to get people to talk in situations. We had to cut the line off of people talking about his celebration of life.
Yeah, I heard that. I was unfortunately unable to attend, but I heard that a lot of great stories were told, and you know, he was honored in a great way. I will say, and you know this, Doug, you know, from your years doing this, I think sometimes you learn more from your failures than your successes. So, you know, that was probably something that Humpy learned a lot from that day.
Yeah, he was the first person to tell that story because you're not bragging on yourself when you admit to that. So that was really good. Well, guys, we head to Gateway, second race in the playoffs. Brad, you've been tossing out a lot of stats. Do you have a feeling about how this one goes down? Is this the Penske bounce back race?
Hey, you know what? It could also extend to Wood Brothers as well. Josh Berry didn't have a good showing there last year, but he wasn't in a Penske car. And now he is, effectively. And, you know, Joey Logano's average finish in three races is third. He's won there. Austin Cindric straight up won that race last year. Ryan Blaney, again, had an opportunity to win last year. And, you know, they got out front by shorting themselves on fuel. And shorting themselves on fuel caused them to have a bad finish, but they were still fast. So right now, if you look at the numbers, I would say, yes, this is going to be a Team Penske parade. I would have said it would have been a Hendrick parade at Darlington last week, though. So you never know.
You never know. That's right. I'm going to say someone like Joey Logano could go out there and just completely change all of our opinions of him in one foul swoop. Like, hey, yeah, you thought after Darlington that, you know, you were willing to write me off. And here I am now standing in victory lane. And he has done that on more than one occasion. So.
It's funny you said write me off, because I'm thinking if he doesn't show up at Gateway, I might be the guy putting my name on the check saying, okay, the magic's not there this year. But after last year, the benefit of the doubt definitely goes to Joey Logano.
He's earned it.
I mean, he came back from total obscurity being out to win the whole thing. Thanks a lot to David Styles, Kent Bernhardt, Alexis Erickson, Brad Gilley. I'm Doug Rice. We'll be back next week. And you know what? We'll have a whole bunch more Fast Talk.
Fast Talk was presented by Toyota. For the latest Toyota Gazoo racing information, visit TGRNA.com. And by Sunoco. From NASCAR to your car, Sunoco Fuel helps your car reach peak performance. This is PRN, the Performance Racing Network.